Desire your prayers this morning. Thankful to be here. Appreciate the goodness of the Lord to each one of us. We have a burden. I've had along this line on my mind for days now, but he's kind of changed it up a little bit. I was praying the other morning, looking to the Lord to meet him. He dropped something in my mind that I'd never really thought about, quite like this anyway. But we need the Lord to help us out. We have had a meeting that I feel like has been very blessed. Messages, in a sense, have all gone together, tied together somewhat anyway. But this morning we're going to shift a little bit and go another direction. Let's go to Philippians, the second chapter.
The mind. The mind of sin. And then the sinful mind. And the other, I'll explain in a little bit what that is right there.
All right, Philippians 2 and 1. Again, we plead for your prayers. Brother Ed said one time, if you was up here, you'd want prayer too. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my love, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem the other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Now then, young people, I want to work with you. I started at your age at 18. The Lord had mercy and saved me and brought me out and set me on a solid rock and done something for me nobody else had done. And every young person this morning comes to right here. They get to a place where that the Lord is calling them this way and the devil's calling them this way. And he is calling both creators, and then the one that's opposing that one. They're working to get that person to the right place. Are the wrong place. And this morning, it starts out with the mind. Listen, young people, this morning, I don't know how much you realize it, but the devil works through the mind. He works in different ways, but he works through that mind. He works through quite a bit. And this morning, he wants to take the mind, and he wants to take it all the way down to here. And what I mean by the mind of sin and the sinful mind, the bottom line is a sinful mind is the one that is totally sold, captivated and wrapped in the depths of sin. It's like in Romans 1, and there's where we're going to end up this morning. But the bottom line is the devil wants to take you and do things with you, and you'd say, well, I will never do that. Listen, sin will take you further than you ever thought it would. You would never think your mind could go to the depths that it can go, but the devil can work in such a way, and if you don't believe me, just look around. Look at the depths of sin, the depths of degradation that the devil has brought on the minds and the hearts of people down through the years, and it's only gotten worse. Till now, the whole nation nearly is crazy because of sin. Crazy because of sin. I said that in the midst of four of us one time down in California, and Brother and Sister Rich and Brother Larry and I was riding together, and I said, sin makes you crazy. And they said, what? I said, it makes you crazy. Listen, folks, when you serve the devil and he has free course with your mind, he's going to take you and make you do things that is not normal, that's not right, that is in attention of getting you deeper and deeper and deeper into sin. Lord, help us this morning. I want you to pray, folks, that people's mind will be stirred, that they will begin to see that if they're going the wrong way, it's time to change. It's time to turn the right way instead of the wrong way.
A lot of times, young people make wrong decisions. Wrong decisions at this point right here. The Lord is doing everything He can. He's calling and He's working. But the devil's working also. And the devil puts a picture out there. You know, the devil even done it with the Lord. That hit me pretty strong in this thought, in this message. I thought the devil lied to Jesus Christ Himself. He painted a picture that I took him up and he said, I'll give you all the kingdoms of the world. Listen, folks, the devil don't own nothing. He didn't create nothing. The Lord created all of it. He said, I'll give it to you. He didn't have anything to give. The devil, what he wants to give, what he wants to do is get you into bind and a chain and a frame of mind that you can't even think straight, bless your heart. Oh, the devil this morning is cruel and mean. He's dirty and nasty. He's horrible in the best of things. And this morning, I want to expose him by the help of God. And I want you and I to think there's a better way, praise God. There's a way to come up and out. There's a deliverance and a power. And we can live for God, praise God. You can do it for years because of the very workings of the Spirit of God and the Holy Spirit living in your lives and empowering you to do what nobody else can do. Oh, this morning the Lord wants to bless you. He wants to bless you, bless your heart. All right, let's go to where it all started. Let's go to Genesis, the third chapter. Genesis, the third chapter. The Lord wants us to have the mind of Christ. Now the serpent, 3:1 of Genesis. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, had God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the tree of the garden. But of the fruit of the tree which was in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. How did Eve learn that? God didn't tell her that directly. If he did, it's not written in a book. He told Adam. He didn't tell Eve. Eve wasn't even born yet or created yet at that point when the Lord told Adam what he did. So Adam had to have told Eve that you don't do this. You leave this thing alone. Now you talk about not being in subjection to your husband, but she wasn't in subjection that time. And so the devil, he comes along and servant said, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. And the servant said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. You shall not surely die. For God did know that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, tree to be desired to make one wise, and she took of the fruit thereof, and she did eat, and gave also her to husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were open. They knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. They heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam said, Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord among the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? He said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, who told thee that thou art naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, I love this right here. He passed the buck real quick. And a man said, the woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said to the woman, what is this that thou hast done? And the woman, she passed the buck too. The servant beguiled me, and I did eat. Listen, folks, you can't pass the buck and get away with it. You can't pass it and say, now this one done this and this and told me that and so forth, because God knew everything about you when you done what you done. And the bottom line is the devil come along and he started working with Eve's mind, didn't he? He started talking to her and dealing with her. Listen, folks, the devil had been around a long time.
He's subtle. He's crafty. He's deceitful. He's a liar. The Bible said in John, I believe, 8:44, he's a liar and the father's a lies. And I'm going to tell you, he's still lying today. He's been lying and he will lie. He told one person one time, said, God don't love you. Well, matter of fact, he told that person that a lot of times. God don't love you. Listen, the Bible said in itself, for God so loved the world. The devil's come along and he's telling you lies. He told Eve a lie. And she got to looking. Listen, when the devil can tell a lie and get you looking at something, then he's got you headed down the wrong road. You get to looking at it and he can begin to work with that mind and make that thing look real pretty. Make it look real inviting and tempting. Why? If I do this, I make a lot of money. Or if I do this. Brother Donnie was talking about money and mowing. I thought myself, it depended on who was offering me that money. If Jeff was so-so or Bill Gates was offering me $250,000 more than you, I'd probably take it. Somebody else offered me, I might not. You see my point? I'd probably do that. The devil wants to make things look real inviting. And that's what he done with Eve right here. He got her looking at that tree. The Lord told Adam, don't touch it. Don't eat of it. And I dare say Adam must have told Eve because she knew about it. But then the devil come along. Listen, folks, the devil's going to come along and he's going to talk to you and he's going to do it in a way that you may not realize exactly what he's doing. So, you got to be on your guard. He's a liar and the father's a lie. He lied to the Lord. And he's been lying ever since. Well, he lied way before that. He lied way before that. Now then, if the devil's a liar, why are we listening to him? How many of us in here like somebody lied to you? If you knew flat out that somebody lied to you, what would you do? Would you keep listening to them? Would you keep thinking, boy, this is nice? I don't know about you, but when somebody lies to me like that, my guard goes up and I start backing off. I start watching real close. Or I may break, not fellowship, but break a relationship with them because I can't trust them. Lies break trust. Listen, folks, I want to ask you young people, if you're listening to the devil lying to you, why are you doing it? The devil is lying to you. You want to listen to somebody else. You want me to tell you the truth. You want any other minister that gets up here to tell you the truth. And so consequently, if we would get up here and told you a lie, the next time I got up here, you wouldn't want to listen. You might walk out on me. But you're listening to the devil. The devil's telling you things he tells you over and over and over. And people listen to the devil. They've been doing it for years. And that's what's taken mankind. And it's taken them all the way down to the pit of hell. It's taken them down there and dumped them in. And Brother Salmon's had that vision one time of the road. And people was going down that road. And there was a great chasm. And they were falling into that. And he could hear the screams and the wails. And Brother Salmon said, I was going along on the side. And I was going like this. Turn around, turn around. Listen, folks, this morning we need to turn around. If you're listening to the devil and going the wrong way, it's time to turn. Make a good U-turn, praise God. And get back to where the Lord can talk to you and work with you and deal with you and do things that you hadn't had him do before. The devil is a liar and the father of it. Our saints, he'll lie to us too if we're not careful. Now then, what happens if we tell a lie? Now then, the lie that the devil told Adam, or Eve, he told her that lie. What did it do? Did it just stop right there? Where'd he go? That lie that she believed and acted on plunged all of mankind into sin. And that's affecting everybody today that's born and lives. Today, if you and I believe a lie of the devil and act on that, it's not probably going to affect just you, but it probably can affect, if you're married, your wife, It can affect your children. It can affect people at work. Listen, folks, this lying don't just stop at one point. It can have great ramifications down the road, all because you listen to the devil lie to you. The Lord wants you to listen to Him. He wants us to listen to the great I Am. Oh, today, it'll get us into trouble. You tell a lie, and sometimes you got to cover a lie with a lie. And then it gets just worse and worse and worse. And before long, you don't even remember what you started telling was untruth back here. And then you can really get yourself into a jam. They lay it pretty strict in the political world that they call you up and they're dealing with you and talking to you. If you lie to them, that's serious business. Listen, when the devil lies to you, it's serious business because he's trying to destroy your soul. He's trying to trap you and enwrap you and trying to do things that you and I don't want to do. I'm going to tell you this morning, it's time to run and make a U-turn. It's time to do whatever you need to do to get away from the devil and all of his lies. I don't want to sugarcoat this morning. I'm going to make it real. Have you been listening to the lies of the devil this morning? What way has he got you looking? What way has he got you turned to? All right, let's go to Joshua, the 7th chapter. I want to talk about Samuel. Not Samuel, but Samson for a little bit. 7 and 18 of Joshua. Samson and Delilah. Now, a lot of you have heard about the story of Samson and Delilah. No, I'm sorry. No, this is the wrong one. All right, Joshua 7 is talking about Achan. Excuse me. And about the 18th verse of 7th chapter. Well, let's go to the 16th verse. So Joshua rose up early in the morning and brought Israel by their tribes, and the tribe of Judah was taken. And he brought the family of Judah, he took the family of Zerahites, and he brought the family of the Zerahites man by man, and Zabdi was taken. And he brought his house whole man by man, and Achan the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah was taken. And Joshua said unto Achan, my son, give, I pray thee, glory to the Lord God of Israel, and make confession unto him, and tell me now what thou hast done, hide it not from me. And Achan answered Joshua and said, indeed, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and thus have I done. When I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonian garment, and 200 shekels of silver and a wedge of gold of 50 shekels weight, then I coveted them and took them, and behold, they are hid in the earth in the midst of my tent, and the silver under it. Joshua sent messengers, and they ran into the tent, and behold, it was hid in his tent and the silver under them. They took them out of the midst of the tent and brought them unto Joshua and unto all the children of Israel, and laid them out before the Lord. And Joshua and all Israel took Israel with him, took Achan, the son of Zerah, and the silver, and the garment, and the wedge of gold, and his sons, and his daughters, and his oxen, and his asses, and his sheep, and his tent, and all that he had, and they brought them into the valley of Achor. And Joshua said, why hast thou troubled us? The Lord shall trouble thee this day. And all Israel stoned him with stones and burned them with fire after they had stoned them with stones. And they raised over him a great heap of stones unto the day. So the Lord turned from the fierceness of his anger. Wherefore the name of that place was called the Valley of Achor unto this day. Now stealing. Anyone ever here ever stole anything? Now Achan looked at this, and the Lord said not to take any of those things. Leave it alone. Don't take it and possess it. And Achan thought, the devil got to talking to Achan and got to dealing with him and got to looking at it, and it looked mighty good. And he decided he wanted that, so he slipped around and he stole it and he brought it in and hid it in his tent, buried it in the ground, I believe, covered it up, and he thought everything was fine. But listen, folks, there's somebody that knows what we do and what we don't do. You can't steal something and God not see it. Said his eyes are over the righteous, his ears are open under their prayers. But another place it says there, he says, all things are naked and open unto him with whom we have to do. The Lord sees whatever we do. If we would steal something, the Lord sees exactly what it is and where it is. That's what got him into trouble. Joshua didn't know what was going on. Nobody else did. But Achan had stole that thing and hid it in his tent. And it got the whole camp in trouble. When they went out to battle, they got whooped real soundly by a few men versus quite a few. The bottom line is this. I'm going to tell you, the devil makes things look real good, and he wants you to steal something. I never was what I call a bad sinner, but I did do a little stealing in high school. No, junior high. Junior high. And wasn't nothing big. And after I got saved and the Lord began to deal with me about it, I went back and tried to correct all that and work with it. But the bottom line is this. You say, well, stealing, listen, there's a lot of people today that's committing great, great sins because they're stealing things. And it's the devil that's lying to them and said, you can get away with that. And maybe there's some people that do get away with it for a while. But the bottom line is, stealing is sin. And if we do those kind of things, it will catch up with this more than likely somewhere down the road. And if you do it, I could be wrong on this, but you will always know what you've done. It will follow you. There's a shame to it. There's a guilt to it. And you can't ever get away with it. And then when you mix the Lord in there with it, he's going to point out to you every so often, you stole that. You shouldn't have done that. There was a man many years ago, come to a revival meeting. Now, this is way back, maybe the late 1800s. And he come to this meeting, and this man had stolen a cow from somebody. And he wanted to get saved, and he went to the altar, and he went to the altar, and he couldn't get anywhere. Well, he'd pray, and he got up to point, and he'd get up and go back to the pew. Finally, he asked the evangelist, said, I want you to pray for me that the Lord help show you what the problem is. So he did. And the Lord spoke to him, and the Lord gave him a vision, I believe it was. And he saw in that vision, he said, that man swallowed a red cow. So the man come up to the evangelist that night before service or after service. He said, well, the Lord showed you anything? Yeah, he did. What did he show you? That you swallowed a red cow. And the man just dropped his head. He knew what he had done. That cow, what the bottom line was, he didn't really want to consider it stealing because it went from the neighbor's pasture to his pasture and he kept the cow. He didn't return it back. That's stealing, isn't it? So the bottom line, he kept it and he stole it. And he couldn't get saved because of that. There's another man, another situation I've heard of. A man out in the west in Kentucky, way back yonder, and they was in a tent meeting, revival meeting, or a camp meeting, and a man kept coming to the altar, and he'd come down there, and he'd pray, and the bottom line was he had done wrong to his company. He had stole things. And he knew he'd stole it. You can't hide that, folks. It's going to come into your mind. You come down the altar and pray, the Lord's going to point that thing out to you. And he had stole this stuff, and he'd get down, he'd pray, he'd done the very same thing. He'd pray for a while again and go back to his seat. That happened several days. Preachers was praying, and the man was praying. Finally in the night, one night, well, the devil showed the man, said, if you confess this thing, you go to the penitentiary. That's what had him bound. Listen, you can do things and the devil will point out your sin and say, well, if you confess that thing, something will happen to you. You can go to jail or whatever it might be. Listen, folks, you can't steal from people and get away with it and be clear. It's going to start popping up one way or another. So the man finally got to the place. He wanted Jesus Christ and he wanted salvation worse than he wanted anything else. So he got in and he got to praying by himself in his tent and he said, Lord, no matter what happens, I'm going to confess this thing out and I want this and I want that. And the Lord began to pour it on and the man repented and he got saved. And they said he come out of there shouting about 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning and was waking people up in the camp. And he prayed through. Guess what? He never did go to prison. The Lord worked it all out. Listen, the Lord wants to help you and I. He wants us to get out of the stealing business, so to speak. He wants you to run from that. And in some cases like mine, I stole some candy bar, ice cream bar. I stole things that were small, not anything big. And we covered it up. I never did get caught. But the Lord knew it. Amen. After I got saved, he said, what about this child? Remember what you've done over there? I don't think I ever did forget it. But he started pointing it out. Well, so I started going to take care of that. Oh, today, I'm going to tell you today, the devil makes things look real good. And when he does, and makes it prettifies it up, so to speak, and then people want to take it. And they want to have it of their own. Or they want the money and the prestige or the power. All right, let's go to Judges, the 16th chapter. Have you stole anything? Have you got anything hid under your bed, so to speak, or in your bedroom or in your closet? Did you take something from mom and daddy? Did you steal something from the neighbor? You take something from the job? Now, I'm talking about outright stealing. I'm not talking about... My daughter and I was talking the other day. She said, well, Dad, sometimes I forget to take some things home. You know. And I guess it's permissible that they do this to an extent and they're all right. But I'm talking about when you deliberately say, I'm going to take that and I'm going to use that. That's mine. And take it. All right, Judges, the 16th chapter. Time's getting away. I don't think I'm going to read all of this. But this is about Samson and Delilah. And the 4th verse of 16th chapter of Judges said, and it came to pass afterward that he loved a woman in the valley of Sarek, whose name was Delilah. And the lords of the Philistines came up unto her and said unto her, entice him and see wherein his great strength lies, and by what means he may prevail against him, we may prevail against him, that we may bind him to afflict him, and we will give thee, every one of us, 1,100 pieces of silver. Now, one of the greatest, well, basically next to salvation, the greatest thing a man or a woman can do is get married. But do you know the devil wants to mess that up worse than anything else? He wants you to marry the wrong person. He wants you to be involved with the wrong girl or the wrong guy. Number one this morning, I want to make it clear, and if I had time to go scripture-wise, I could prove it to you. The Lord does not want a saved person to marry an unsaved person. He does not want a church of God that understands church of God to go out in Babylon and get them a companion. They're supposed to marry within. And the Bible all the way back in the Old Testament teaches it. But not anything I'm coming up. He teaches it front and back, so to speak. And today, the Lord wants you to have the right companion. He told me in 1975, I'd been to Hammond, Louisiana, at a camp meeting. Different young ladies down there, pretty and nice. And I was young and I was looking around. And I come back home, and the Lord I was getting, Lord had been dealing with me to preach for a little while, and I was standing there getting ready one morning to go to work, and the Lord walked right up beside me right here, and he spoke an audible tone right in my ear. He said, if you're going to be a minister for me, you let me pick your companion. And then, he gave me a vision, so to speak, of getting the right companion, what she can do for me, or getting the wrong companion. The wrong companion can cause you to be lost, folks. The right companion can help you to make heaven. So this morning, God knows how serious it is, and don't bet your... Don't forget that the devil knows it too. And he's going to do whatever he can do this morning to get you involved with the wrong woman. Now, it amazes me on the deal with Samson here. The devil is working with Delilah. He is working with the Philistines. But we got to remember that Samson had made the Philistine real mad. He had killed some of them. 100,000, maybe 1,000, 2,000 of them. He had done things that had angered them to the bottom. And so consequently, they thought, well, I can get in there and work with Delilah, and we can find out what the secret of this man's strength is, and we can take him and we can do what we want with him. And it took Delilah a while. But she worked and she worked and she worked. Listen, folks, if the devil wants you to marry the wrong person, he's going to work and work and work to do that. Amen. He might not just whisper one time. He's going to come along and he's going to deal with you. And then he's going to deal again. And he's going to lie and he's going to paint things out. Listen, today I beg you, marriage is chancy at its best. So consequently, the best thing to approach this thing, even after I lost Rebecca, that thing that the Lord, the voice of God that dealt with me, it stayed with me. It wasn't like I forgot it after 30 years of marriage. The bottom line was, I still thought about it. I don't want to marry the wrong woman. You can't fast enough. You can't pray enough. You need to spend a lot of time. And boys, a beautiful girl is attractive. Women, girls, a handsome man, tall and handsome. He's attractive, so to speak. And it gets your attention. But the bottom line is the devil wants to use anything he can to get your attention to ensnare you in the wrong marriage.
That's right.
There is so much that goes with this. I could preach a long time on this. The bottom line is the Lord may want to use you in the work of God.
Amen.
And the wrong companion could hurt that.
That's right.
I've seen it. I've seen it happen down through the years. We've got people that's off because the man married the wrong woman and she started bringing a liberal attitude and idea and he started swallowing it and eventually they walked away.
Yes, preacher, Lord.
Lord, help us.
Amen.
So, basically, Samson lied to Delilah. And finally, over here in the 15th verse, and she said to him, how canst thou say, I love thee, when thy heart is not with me? Thus thou hast mocked me these three times, and hast not told me wherein thy great strength lieth. And it came to pass when she pressed him daily with her words and urged him so that his soul was vexed unto death that he told her all his heart and said unto her, the devil don't quit. If he can get you to do something wrong, he will press you, he will vex you, he will do everything he can do. He'll use a girl to do it, he'll do a man to do it. I know of a situation that I love this man dearly. We were relatives, and this man had a girlfriend. And they had been boyfriend and girlfriend for a while. I don't know how long, I don't remember, because he'd been dead a while now, and I don't know on that. But the bottom line was, it got to a place that she wanted him to marry her, and she started setting in to get him to do it. He wasn't saved. And the devil started working. And finally, he gave in. And they got married. And she had five husbands before him. When my mother found out what was going on, she was, what did I do? I couldn't believe it. I thought, you married a woman. But the bottom line was, she deceived him. Listen, folks, a man or a woman can deceive you by the help of the devil. And so consequently, we need to be on our guard. We need to be sure we know enough about this person and the clearness of that person that we're not stepping into an adulterous trap. They'll hide it. They'll cover it up. They'll do whatever. They want you. They want you to marry them. And they will do anything they can to cover their past up and get you into something that the devil wants you in and the Lord does not want you in. Listen, if the devil can get you in the wrong marriage, folks, that's one of the greatest things he loves to do. Because in a situation like that, that's the hardest thing to come out of. He gets you in an adulterous situation, you're in a bad trap. Well, Delilah told the Philistines. The Philistines took and went to work on Samson. And in a sense, Samson come out on top because he got them all. But the bottom line was he should have never had anything to do with Delilah. When she started lying, that's what amazed me. He should have had enough common sense to saw something's wrong when she's doing what she's doing. I'm going to tell you, Lord, help us to be close enough to God that if something starts looking wrong, you have enough understanding and enough wisdom and enough discernment to say something's wrong with this. Lord, you and I need to have a talk. We need to be careful. Let's go to Genesis, the fourth chapter, back about where we started. I want to save time. The fourth chapter, Adam knew Eve, first verse, his wife, she conceived, bare Cain, and said, I've gotten a man from the Lord. And again, she bare his brother Abel. Abel was a keeper of the sheep. Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in process of time came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of the flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth? And why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass that they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel his brother, and he slew him. And the Lord said unto Cain, where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? And he said, what hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. And now art thou cursed from the earth, which hath opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. Now, you can steal things. You can get into a wrong marriage or go with the wrong person. Maybe I ought to go that route. But the bottom line, you would think I would never kill somebody. But let me tell you, there's a lot of people that's made the statement, I'll never kill somebody, that's pulled the trigger and shot them dead. How many of you remember the steakhouse murders in South Oklahoma City in 1977? Brother Don, you probably don't know anything about it. But there was a man, and he was going to go in and rob the steakhouse. And he went in there with the sole purpose of robbing it. And coming out with the money, he waited for a good time. He entered in just about the time they closed. There was, I believe, 6 employees on duty that night. And he went in there to rob it. And that's all he went in there to do. That's what he confessed. Well, he went in there. He got to talking, and there was a preacher in there. Now, can you imagine? And a preacher made this man mad. And he upset him. And he went from a man that was just going to rob the place, and he took one at a time, and he took them back in the cooler, and he gunned them down in cold blood and left them there and went and got the other one. And the next one. And he killed 6 people. If I remember right, his name was Roger Dale Stafford. He went to prison for a number of years and finally, I believe, was executed. But the bottom line was this. There's a lot of people that have said, I will not commit such a heinous crime that's killed somebody. And if you allow the devil to work with your mind, the devil was working right here. The Lord was working, but the devil, no doubt, had his finger in this thing and working with Cain there and maybe working with Abel too. But he had Cain in such a deal that they were in the field and Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and he slew him. had it hid, had it covered, but the Lord knew what happened. I know of a case of a man that there's a possibility he murdered his own wife. And we don't know exactly, but this man was never caught. And I got the duty to preach his funeral many, many years later. And Mama told me, because it was in family, Mama told me, said, son, said, we feel like he killed his first wife. And then he remarried some of the family. And there was, Mama had an article in the paper that we discovered when we were going through her things. And I read that article. And they'd done everything they could do to figure out what happened, but they could not figure it out. But folks, if he killed her, he took that thing to the grave with him. Amen. There's another thing. You're not going to kill somebody and forget. Right. It's going to stay with you and go with you. The devil will lie to you and say, well, this won't be and that won't be. Listen, folks, there's things out there that are serious sins that if you commit them, I'm going to tell you, they'll follow you to your grave. The devil's not, the Lord's not going to let you forget it for one thing. So, they never did prove it. He married this other person. They lived together and I guess had a pretty good marriage. He had four sons. But the sons picked up on something and they confessed just enough to the family to give them an idea that my dad killed my mother. The Lord said, your blood's crying. Your brother's blood is crying to me from the ground. I'm going to tell you, I'll never do that. You listen to the lies of the devil and you allow him to work in your mind. You don't know what you will do. You don't know how far you will go. All right, let's go to Luke, the 8th chapter. Luke, the 8th chapter. The mind. The mind was the brain, really. But the mind was created to serve God. It wasn't created to serve the devil. It was created to serve God. It was created to be a blessing to people, to honor and glorify God, and to lift him up. It was not created to be a pack mule for sin and to go out there and do things that the devil wants him to do. So the bottom line was, the Lord said, let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. The Lord wants you to have the right mindset this morning. All right, Luke, the 8th chapter, 26th verse. And they arrived at the country of the Gadarenes, which is over against Galilee. And when he went forth to land, there met him out of the city a certain man which had devils a long time, and wearing no clothes, neither abode in any house, but in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out, fell down before him with a loud voice, said, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God, Most High? I beseech thee, torment me not. For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man, for oftentimes it had caught him, and he was kept bound with chains and in fetters, and he brake the bands, and was driven of the devil into the wilderness. And Jesus asked him, saying, what is thy name? And he said, Legion, because many devils were entered into him. And they besought him that he would not command them to go out into the deep. And there was a herd of many swine feeding on the mountain. And they besought him that he would suffer them to enter into them. And he suffered them. And then went the devils out of the man and entered into the swine. And the herd ran violently down a steep place into the lake and were choked. When they that fed them saw what was done, they fled. And went and told it in the city of the country. Then they went out to see what was done, and came to Jesus and found the man out of whom the devils were departed, sitting at the feet of Jesus and in his right mind, and they were afraid. They also which saw it told them by what means that he that was possessed of the devils was healed. And I don't know how many of you understand it, But we live in a country, folks, that's devil-possessed. If you and I could see the depths of the devils that is in people, I could be wrong. We'd probably be shocked a little bit. Brother Herschel Hargraves had a brother. This brother was a preacher among us at one time. I never knew him, but I heard of him. Brother Herschel's talked to me about him. And this man, Brother Herschel, told me, and I had a lot of respect for Herschel Hargrave, but Herschel told me, he said, Brother Carl, he said, the bottom line was, my brother could put and connect and work with Scripture better than anyone I've ever seen. I thought, you do a good job of it yourself. But he could put them together. Well, he got into a mental situation, and he ended up into an institution, and Brother Herschel went to visit him. And as Brother Herschel was walking down the hall, there was a door. In this door was an opening about like that. And there was a man that was looking out of that deal and looking straight at Brother Herschel. Brother Herschel got to look at him, and their eyes locked. And Brother Herschel said, I think I saw something that I'd never seen. He said, I seen a second set of eyes. Saw the spirit that was in that man.
Yes.
Listen, folks, the bottom line, there's a lot of people in these homes that if they were clean of spirit would be normal.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
They'd be normal. They wouldn't be in the devil possession. Now this is where we get down to the point. You get down to the simple mind. This man right here, he was possessed with many, many devils. There is people that's got several devils, maybe just one devil. But the bottom line, devil possession is a great thing in our country today. And that's the reason it's going down to the pit like it is. Now then, the devil has worked in a way that these people have believed things and begin to partake in things, and that's where it all takes them, and they begin to get possessed with spirit. They get into lying, they get into cheating, they get into stealing, they get into lustful spirits with people. And they go down worse and worse. They begin to get bound and chained and tied and possessed in a way that it has not only a mind or a mind of sin, but it's a sinful mind. In other words, it's bound and chained, and the depth of that thing is hardly able to be recognized for the depths that it goes to. But folks, today, homosexuality in the United States is at a rampant pace. Brother Dan and Brother Philip, both of them or one of them, told us that there's a mall down in Atlanta, Georgia, and they said one or two times a year, said homosexuality just fill that place. I wonder how many of you in here believe in homosexuality. How many really believe people can become homosexuals? Is it a spirit? Yes, it's a spirit. Let me tell you why it's a spirit. I was asked by Mama and Daddy a number of years ago to go to a funeral of one of my father's nephews that used to be a youth minister in a denomination. I didn't know that he wasn't. I thought he was still fine. Mama said, I want you to go to this funeral. I thought it kind of odd why Mom and Daddy wants me to go. Are you guys not going? No, we're not going. Okay, so Rebecca and I went, and we walked in the funeral home, and right away we perceived there was something in our spirits told us there was something drastically wrong there. And she looked at me, and I looked at her, and I said, I don't know, baby, what's going on, but something's wrong around here. Something bad wrong. And I could feel it. Listen, folks, homosexuality will destroy people. It is destroying people. They got this gay marriage business that is totally wrong.
That's right.
So, we went through the service. We went to the cemetery, that same deal. And then Mom and Daddy called me and talked to me about it and said, you know what that was? I said, no. I said, something was wrong, Mama, or Daddy, whoever I'm talking to. They said, yeah, said your cousin had gone into homosexuality and he had died of AIDS. And that's what the problem was. A lot of homosexuals are there. Right. And we can feel it. It's real, folks. It's real, and it's sin, and it's corruption in the eyes of God. I'm going to tell you today, you better remember, if the devil comes around and says you can start doing things like that, I'm going to tell you, you better run for your life. Yes. You don't want to have anything to do with it, because it's a powerful spirit, and it will bind you and chain you and ruin you and put a sinful mind in your head. Yes. And you'll be in a place where you wish at times you'd never done that. Yes. A young lady, a minister's daughter, many years ago, we were in their home. Brother Egbert and I was there, and we stand with this family, and I love the couple, the husband, the wife, and their children, and we were sitting eating breakfast one morning. The young lady told me, she goes, one of them was talking, and she goes, I want to live in San Francisco. Now, this had been back in the early 80s. So this wasn't like last year, a year before. This has been probably 81, 82, somewhere along there, because I wasn't married yet. And I said, do you want to live in San Francisco? I said, why do you want to live there? Well, she named all the things. I don't remember what that was. But if I remember right, I told her, I said, do you realize that that city is basically given to homosexuality? Do you want to live there? Yeah. I know that there's sin goes around us, but folks, when we put ourselves like, who was it, Lot? Put himself, he can't, was it Lot that looked down there and saw the deal, and Abraham, I believe, up here, and Lot went down and pitched his tent towards Sodom? And what happened? Got him in trouble, didn't it? Listen, if we pitch our tent towards the world, if we pitch our tent towards Sodom, in Sodom, it will get us in trouble possibly down the road. You better run from it. Yeah. All right, let's finish up Romans, the first chapter. What's your mind on this morning? Young people, what are you thinking about? What are you considering? Well, I'm in meeting. But how much are you getting out of the preaching that's being preached? How many blessings are you coming? Are you sitting there thinking about this over here in your mind or this over here, and the preacher doing all he can do to help you to see that you need to do something different? There's blessings, there's glory. Where's our mindset this morning? The devil wants to mess our minds up bad, folks. And the Lord wants us to have a mind like Christ. A mind of love, power, authority, mercy, pity, compassion, grace. He wants us to have a mind that will be a blessing to people. I'm going to tell you, a sinful mind is not a blessing to people. It's a curse to people in a sense. And you and I need to run for our lives. If your mind is beginning to be led in ways by the enemy, he's lying to you and lying to you and lying to you, trying to get you to move into an area that your mama and daddy, your grandparents, and the preachers have taught you, and the teachers, you don't want to do that. If that's happening, you better make a U-turn. You better run for your life. You better say, no, devil, I'm not going to do that. Get down to this altar and let the minister pray for you and get help. But I'm going to tell you, this thing is real. The devil's been lying to people for years, and he's going to lie to the end of time, till the Lord cast him into the pit for all time. I'm going to tell you today, the devil is a mean, dirty, filthy old devil, and he don't care what he does to get you. He'll do it by the simplest lie or whatever lie he needs to use. Romans, the first chapter, 19th verse. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing them things to be wise, they became fools, They changed the glory of an incorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and to birds, four-legged beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. Who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator who is blessed forever? Amen. For this cause, God gave them unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their own lust one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meant. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do things which are not convenient, being filled. Now look at it. Like I said, the mind of sin, but then you get to a sinful mind. These people right here have a sinful mind, a very sinful mind. It said here, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetous, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whispers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covet breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the thing the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Now then, I want to get back up here in the 28th verse. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. Now, I don't know about you all, but I start out with thanking God when I start praying every day. I thank Him every time, but I start out and I start thanking Him for Him, the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost, salvation, sanctification. I thank Him for His mercy, His love, His pity, His compassion, His grace, His goodness, all of this. And I finish it off with saying, Lord, I thank You for a mind that wants to serve God. I don't know about you, but I'm thankful I got a mind that's looking up. A mind that wants to be like Christ. A mind that wants to serve Him. Even if I wasn't a preacher, the very fact that I want to love Him and die for Him and do what He wants me to do. Like was sung this morning. Dear ones, I'm thankful for a mind that serves God. But it says here, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. What does the word reprobate mean? Can anybody tell me? I think one other preacher used this word and preach on it, and I believe it was a Monarch several years ago. I thought, I wonder what he's going to say about it. Reprobate means abandon. In other words, turn loose by God. Given over. They had gotten to the place where God was abandoning them into the position that was in, and to do those things which were not convenient. Listen, folks, when God pulls His power back and abandons you to a reprobate mind and releases you, you're in the worst condition you could ever be in. Does it happen? It's happened thousands of times. There's people out there that has a reprobate mind today. The Lord has turned them loose, and they're out there. Listen, folks, if you want to, you know what the worst thing is about hell? What's going to be the worst thing about hell? Burning? Weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth? Yeah, that'll be pretty bad. But let me tell you what's the worst thing. It's the lack of the presence of God. We have the presence here. But I got news for you. You ain't going to have no Guthrie Assembly meeting camp in hell, folks. You're not going to have, you ain't going to have no monarch down there. There's going to be a weeping and a wailing. There's going to be a burning. There's going to be pain and anguish down in a place where you can never get out. He told Abraham, or Abraham told the rich man, said, between you and us is a great gulf fixed, and you can't come up here and we can't go down there. I don't want to go down there, folks. I want to go to heaven, praise God. I want to be up there with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Matthew and Mark and Luke and John. I want to be up there with Paul and the powerhouses. I want to be up there with the saints that I've known, Brother Leslie and different ones that I've been mentored by and worked with and loved and done things with. I want to be with them, praise God. He turned them over to a reprobate mind. Oh my God, have mercy. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. In other words, they were doing these things. Now, people that wants to justify homosexuality, if I'm not mistaken, they say it's not condemned in the New Testament. I had the Lord give me a message one time on homosexuality. And I preached about 4 to 5 hours of it, or a system. I didn't do it all one time. Over a period of time in Guthrie, in Shawnee. And I have, if you want to call it, put messages together by the help of the Lord for years. But I never had one any easier than that. And I started way back in the Old Testament, and I took it all the way to Revelation. Listen, folks, it's condemned in the Old Testament. It's condemned in the New Testament. And people that get in that kind of condition, I could be wrong, but they're turned over to a reprobate mind, abandoned, turned loose. They can't make common sense out of anything. That's why sin makes you crazy. Spirits makes you crazy. You don't have common sense. That's the reason our world is in the mess it's in today. All right, let me read you what Barnes says on a reprobate mind. A mind destitute of judgment. In the Greek, the same word is used here, which in another form occurs in the previous part of this verse, and which is translated alike. The apostle meant doubtless to retain a reference to that in this place, as they did not approve or choose to retain God, he gave them up to a mind disapproved, rejected, and reprobate. And he means that the state of their minds was such that God could not approve it. Woo! In other words, God don't approve of the depths of sin that these people had gone to. The spirits that they had picked up. It does not mean that they were reprobate by any arbitrary degree, but that as a consequence of their headstrong passions, their determination to forget him, he left them to a state of mind which was evil, and which he could not approve, which are not convenient, which are not fit or proper, which are disgraceful and shameful, to wit, those things which he proceeds to state in the remainder of the chapter. Lord, have mercy on everybody. They can't think properly. They have a sinful mind. They're in a definite mess is what they're... No, they're not in a mess. They're worse than a mess. They're in a position that is horrible. Now, you think I can never get there? There is thousands and thousands of people that have said that. And they started. They got to this place where God was calling. I am so thankful that when I got there to the line of the road, the Lord said, come of me. And I done what he told me to do. I was not a bad person, so to speak. I mean, I was lost, but I wasn't no bad sinner. But the bottom line is, the Lord saved me. Amen. He didn't deliver me out of a lot of sin, but he saved me from a lot of things that I could have gotten into. You may say I'm a saint's child and this will never happen to me. Don't fool yourself, folks. The devil's real. And he'll destroy you and he'll take your mind and you'll have a reprobate mind. Let's stand and have a number. I appreciate your time, attention, and prayer.